Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode one of Arcane Analysis, a Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Samantha. You may know me as Kitchen Online. And my co-hosts are Allie. Would you like to say hello to our listeners?
Hello.
And Katie.
Hello.
On tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing artifact power.
Yes.
I guess we should have maybe discussed that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, who wants to actually, like, start off in their diatribe?
Someone has to start off because it ain't me. I haven't played Warcraft in a while. I'm like, APs? What is the AP? I know about
Do you have AP?
Do you even AP, bro?
Do you even have AP? Do you even have AK?
That's actually... Oh, Jesus. That's the real question. Do you have AK, bro?
Yeah, do you have AK? So, yeah, artifact power is, like, a huge thing right now. It'll be causing a lot of disparity between, you know, the people that have the time and people that don't. We talk a lot of people are hearing, you know, the grind, the artifact power grind. And, you know... I guess we're here really to talk about what that entails, both as a rating aspect, a casual aspect, the person just picking up the game, and maybe somebody who doesn't even want to hear about this.
So artifact power grinding, a lot of the complaints are coming from raiders, especially on the higher end, the more competitive, because the more time you put into it, the more power you get, the more... raw output damage. At one point you start with your 34 traits, and at trait 35 you get a instant 5% DPS increase, and with every point thereafter increases by a half up until 54, which will be the cap for Nighthold.
Yeah, and while, you know, something like that doesn't seem a whole lot at the first, you know, just to get 5% extra damage from every single thing you do is pretty impressive, especially as a kind of capstone to your artifact weapon. Like, you have finished this. Oh, wait, but there's more.
Yeah, it's like an I win button that doesn't stop winning. And that's what creates this problem of compulsion, of when do you stop? Can you stop? Who are you keeping up with? Is it just yourself? Is it a, you know, rival player in your guild, in your raid group of the same class? Are you just trying to stay competitive or keep middle of the road? And a lot of times, especially on the high end, raiders aren't used to having to continue that grind to stay relevant and competitive. They kind of win, complete the tier, and wait out until the next content patch, which is something that's really hard for a completionist attitude.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the history of Warcraft, they've set together this system, or World of Warcraft, they've set the system of lockouts. You can only do this raid once a week. You could only do this dungeon once a day. You could only do this event once every week or month or so on and so forth. The idea was that...
so many points per week.
Exactly.
And if you missed your cap, then you were just perpetually behind. But artifact power, there's no caps, and there's not any similar kind of catch-up.
Well, without the lack of cap or catch-up mechanic, there's just a perpetuation of continuing to grind up this AP power. When you stop, there's not really a great answer as to when to stop, because there's not really a true understanding of the diminishing returns. So once you hit that 5% increase... continue to increase your power there on afterward. And while maybe a more casual raider can be okay with just hitting that 5% cap, or they're not constantly feel the need to grind AP power, a more competitive player, or even, as you were mentioning before, the completionist player feels a necessity to continue grinding this AP power, to continue to bolster their character so they can continue to provide good DPS, healing, tanking, etc. for their raid, because I feel like it's a commitment. They've made a commitment to their guild to perform at the peak of their capability, and if you're not constantly grinding AP, does that say that you're not willing to put in the time and the effort needed for to ensure that your guild has the best chance at downing bosses or competing for that world first title?
Yes, and look at the other things that we do for those. As you mentioned, bosses, killing that boss. You get to the, we've all probably had those, 1% wipes or sub 1% wipes. What little thing could you do? And honestly, hey, if somebody had 0.5% more damage, well, there's a boss kill. If you had, if everybody had, used two potions in a fight, there's your boss kill. If everybody had the right consumable, there's your boss kill. It's become the accepted norm that if you don't have your flask, if you don't have your double potions, if you don't have your food, you're failing behind something. And we've set that standard, and it's something that I guess Blizzard is kind of fighting back against. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, sometimes having something constantly to do with this artifact power is nice, because it keeps you interested in the game. But the flip side is you're always interested in the game. You can't sometimes, there's that almost drive to never take a break. And that's something that we've never seen before.
Well, it amplifies the burnout feeling, whereas you might burn out for that first 3 weeks of grinding and then you're done, but now you've got months of grinding and burnout.
Well, I think that we're finally seeing for the first time a possibility of player fatigue, where having this sort of capability to continue grinding past a cap, because there is no cap, right? So you give the designers have had this great thought of, hey, we're gonna make sure that players feel like they can play at any given time and catch, it's like sort of like a enforced catch-up mechanic. So it's like, if you miss the first week but you really need it, you need to hit a certain AP level, you can make it up in the second week or the third week, etc. So you have this sort of catch-up mechanic without the catch-up mechanic saying, hey, you can only make up this amount of points, you can do as many points as you want. But you're seeing for the first time player fatigue, where you are because there is no cap, there is no limit, players compelled, and they're actually in the beginning they're interested in playing nonstop, but when you don't allow or even create a break for players, it becomes a chore. It's I would even argue it's similar to why garrisons didn't work in Warlords of Draenor, where you feel like compelled to constantly be building up your garrison for your main, for your for your alternates, etc., to continue bolstering and improving your chances of succeeding in your guild or in your raiding progression. And I think that you run the risk of players, starting to complain like they are now, where they don't ever see where they can't see an end. And because there is no end, they're being pressured into playing.
It's not that there isn't an end, it's just hard to see that end. 54 trades is a lot, especially, 35 was about 1.8 million AP, and that sounds like a lot, but when you get down to it, it didn't take all that much time. But trait 36 is, 2.0 million. And, that's just a little bit more. That last trait didn't take that long, and the next one's 2.1 million. Oh, that's just a little, it's not that much farther. And it slowly increases, and after a while, maybe a larger spike in that gap would have been easier of, this next trade, 6 million, that's three times as long as the last one, and the last one took me a full week to get, I'm not going to worry about that for now. And maybe scaling items later, like the next drop that you get, instead of the base, being 50 and your artifact knowledge doing the work to make it reasonable, maybe the next item for this next patch is worth, 600, and suddenly that 6 million doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, because the system feels very, very familiar if you've ever played Diablo and Paragon, and that's a lot of, a lot of lines of similarity that people draw, is like, well, this is just like Diablo. I don't want Diablo in my MMO. It's because Diablo has a tendency to be more of a solo game. You're not racing to stay competitive with anybody, but at the same time, there's no cap on Paragon, but you don't see people losing their mind about, well, I need to keep more power, I need to get more power, I need to get more power. They just kind of dump in the time to get to 70, get maybe the first 500 Paragon points, which doesn't take a lot of time, and that's coming from me, who's someone that doesn't play that much Diablo and gets kind of bored with it pretty quick. Because I don't like the solo play. But the exponential rate at which you need more, it's XP. Like, once you hit your level cap, the XP turns into Paragon points. Once you hit that XP, it exponentially grows into such a phenomenal level that it starts to become more and more impossible to get the next Paragon level, where you're in the points of billions of XP per level.
Well, maybe you touched on the point of where you're getting your experience from. In Diablo, you get it from every single thing you do. So you just can play the game as much as you want.
Right. It's XP. It's completely inundated in everything that you do. It's not gated by, well, this quest gives it, but this quest doesn't, or you loot this item and you get something from here, and that one's worth 10, but this one over here is worth 25. So there's the gaps in between obtaining, or the daily cap in it being obtainable, is much more finite, which is what creates that power problem. Like, if you miss the finite opportunity to grab these quests, depending on the certain time of day that maybe you do them, you're missing out and you're setting yourself behind. And that pressure of, well, I'm behind and I should feel bad, or somebody telling you that you're behind so and so, you should feel bad, becomes the problem. It's
well, you've
culturally
been talking
today, issue.
A lot of friends are saying, oh, there's 1.4 million AP on the board today. That's a lot of AP. And if you go through and do all those quests, you know, that's, you know, almost 3/4 of a artifact point, or, you know, 60% of one. And that's a lot. That's a significant push through at, you know, at this point where my reference comes where my frost weapon's at point 34 or 41. But on the flip side, if you don't log in today or say, oh, well, I have this thing to go on, I have this other thing to do tomorrow, there may be only, you know, 300,000 AP on the board, and that's a huge difference. And the fact that it's not consistently available makes you go to lengths to try and, you know, maximize those things of, well, if I don't take advantage of this today, it may not happen tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like you said earlier, it's kind of a comparison to the garrison issue, where, like, I remember when Warlords first started and I wanted to crank out my garrison and get my little followers all leveled up, like, I would get up 20-30 minutes early every morning, go run missions so that those were done and cleared out by lunchtime, and I would log in on my phone remote desktop and go jump back into the garrison, reset my missions, and so that they were ready to go when I got home from work. And for me, it was fun because I like gamified systems like that. But after 4 months, it was old, and I didn't bother anymore because everything was maxed out, and I didn't need to. I could set it and forget it, other than, you know, farming gold for the lulls.
Well, you see, you reach that point where after enough effort and enough time, you finished, essentially. So you could just do the minimal to continue on.
Right.
There's no minimal here. Like, the people that, especially the people that are making the biggest part, are going through and running Mythic Pluses hours and hours and hours and hours. I had a friend who ran 6.5 hours of straight mob soul Mythic Plus runs, and him and his group were carrying people. And it's like, how many artifact traits did you get? Well, I got 3, I guess. So it was pretty good. I'm like, 3, and you sat there for 6 hours playing, and that's not your raid time. That's not your I'm going to play with friends time. That's your I feel compelled to do something time. And I think that's where the problem lies, is, you know, if there is some sort of a cap from a source, like you could only get, you know, so much from this source or so much from this source, or maybe just so many tokens, like not a reasonable amount that, you know, you would hit on a daily basis. Like, you know, say world quests, you can get, I've collected, when I was really into it, 30 or 40. Say you set the cap of 50. You're never going to hit that cap unless you go to extreme measures to do so. Set, you know, say you're only going to get artifact points from, you know, say 10 Mythic Plus dungeons a day, or 15 or 20. or set a weekly cap of like 200. You're not going to hit that in normal circumstances, but it prevents excessive farming, I guess.
Yeah, it leaves it open-ended for the casual, but also limits the obsessive or hardcore from doing anything. But at the same time, like, why is it Blizzard's responsibility to save people from themselves? Like, more often than not, it's adults that are playing games. Shouldn't they have control over themselves and what they do?
That is an interesting point. No, I mean, we should just be, you know, we should be responsible. At least that's the theory, right? We're trying to, you know, we have our lives, we have our jobs, we have our everything else that we're compiling together. And I don't know, it's not Blizzard's job, not at all. They can say, hey, this is what we're expecting you to do, and they can set points.
I thought you had a really good point about how does Blizzard, you know, when is it Blizzard's responsibility or the designer's responsibility to make sure to guide players to not play excessively, like 24/7, where they feel like they can't keep up and maintain their own lives. It becomes a chore, not so much a game, as opposed to when is it the player's responsibility to maintain that, hey, I'm only going to play for 4 hours. I think like with all things, it's very easy to say that there's a balance between both of these topics where it's like, well, it should be enough where the designer isn't creating this sort of necessity to constantly be grinding up for higher power output from each player. At the same time, it's also, you know, the player's responsibility where they should feel comfortable in logging off in the game and saying like, hey, I played for 4 hours. I put in my time to farm outside of my raid or with my raid, then I should be set to go. I think that we mentioned that Diablo 3 puts in, like, has this really great system where you level up and you put time into that, and then after that you start grinding into your Paragon points. And there is a point with Paragon points where you do hit those diminishing returns, and players that play understand that it's like, okay, well, there is a cap on, like, movement speed, for example. There is a cap on certain other abilities. So, you know, once you've hit those caps, then the Paragon levels from there on out, those points that you're getting aren't as useful, but they do accumulate enough where you could start to do, like, the higher tiers and echelons of Diablo runs. I think that Overwatch actually has a really interesting way of compelling players to play without it feeling very grindy. I think that Warcraft can probably might actually be able to take from this, which is I think that we can all agree that most solo play for the purpose of getting prepared for, you know, raid or your more social guild events, probably, I think it's considered not as fun. I think that if they could take a cue from Overwatch, where when you group with friends, you get double the XP. And if there's some sort of soft cap that's known to the community, it's like, hey, if you play with your friends or your guild mates, you're going to hit that soft cap faster than you would with solo play. And that might incentivize players to not feel as terrible playing excessively, where it feels like, okay, I know I need to hit the soft cap. If I want to go over the extra cap, that's great, because then I know those points, while we are starting to hit some sort of diminishing returns, like, that's some sort of knowledge on my part where it's like, okay, I know that this isn't the most efficient use of my time, but I feel compelled or interested in continuing to grind that up. If they play with friends and they hit that soft cap faster, then they might not feel like the grind up there is as lonely and as draining as it is right now.
Yeah, I like that idea. Actually, a lot of that's something I hadn't considered because I don't play that much Overwatch because I'm bad.
That doesn't mean I'm good because I play it, but, you know, just throwing out there.
I log in for the holidays.
Reaper mains?
Just to see how pretty it is, and then kind of log back out. But I play a fair bit more Heroes, where the exponential XP bonus for grouping in a party or grouping with your friends. The only thing I'm kind of worried about is culturally the games are different. And in WoW, I've seen complaints from friends that, like, they're in a good guild, they love their guild, but there's still cliques within that guild, and people get excluded sometimes. So, like, would it be more appropriate to put a cap on, like, well, if you're doing things in a five-man group, but you get the XP from five-man kind of thing, or should it be capped at, like, three or four so it opens things up for inclusivity?
Yeah.
I mean, parties are five, so it kind of incentivizes you doing them in groups of five. You have dungeon content, which goes from 10 to 30, typically speaking. And it's hard to say. Like, WoW seems to function well in, like, jumps of five, just because right. You can typically follow a good, you know, for a group of five, you have one tank, one healer, three DPS. As you get a group of two, it's typically two tanks, two to three healers, and the rest DPS. And as you go from that, it's just constantly adding more damage and healers, because you don't need more tanks typically.
And therein lies the problem of, you know, inclusivity, is that in a five man, that's fine. And a 10 man, it's probably still okay. But you start hitting mythic levels where you've still only got two tanks and you've got 18 other people to worry about, you're going to get healers, or especially DPS, that don't have a tank for them.
That's
not
a good
that topic. A lot of things, like in World Quest, you could run around with five DPS and it's not going to matter. But if, like, you're going to get that bonus from grinding a mythic plus, then you're going to need that tank and that healer. Depending on the level of the mythic plus, you might not need the healer, because I've run a few of those and those are always thrilling. But the example still lies, is that there's probably going to be some people that have gotten cut out, and I've been in that place before, and that place sucks.
Well, I guess
never
it even
that guy. So that's why I'm saying, like, should you maybe,
well, look at
cap
it from this way as well. What if you're, like, the second tank in a 10-man raid group, and that you typically do, but you don't have a whole lot of time outside a raid to play? And so, I mean, you'll typically fall behind, but you're okay with that, and your group's okay with that. But what happens when the other people want to be there, and you have one group of five doing their own thing with their tank, and the other group, the other half the group, is sitting there going, well, we can't do anything because, you know, so-and-so's not here. And that, you know, adds the social pressure of, you know, you really should get on more. You know, I can't get on more. I'm doing other things. I have other responsibilities. And it's, again, it's something that you don't think about, is if you're incentivizing group plays, what if the person, you know, if you have a smaller guild, it's harder. What if that person can't get on? And, you know, those people feel like, well, now we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, it's a similar issue where, like, in the grand scheme of AP grinding, and people I had seen complain about AP being awarded from PvP quests, and people are like, well, I'm not a PvPer, why should I feel compelled, because I need that AP, to go to a thing that I don't like? And that's like, well, it's not fair to not give AP to PvPers, because they need it in their weapons too. They're still playing the same game, they're just doing it a little differently.
Yep. And they're not getting all the little AP drops that you get from raids, and it's, people don't think about that. There's a lot there. Especially if you do a lot of content, a lot of mythic pluses, you'll quickly outpass what you can get in PvP. But like you said, AP, that's how I got into PvP this expansion, and along with the artifact appearance, but it incentivized me. Early on, AP was this huge draw. How can I get artifact power? Can I get it from PvP? Yes, well, I'll try this little thing. Oh, the Tower Warden was pretty cool. And some lowly alliance decided to run through, and we fought it out in the Warden Tower PvE world quests. So that was fun. And then I went over to the Brawl, and we had a good fight, and everybody was having a good time. Well, maybe I should go to the Battlegrounds. And suddenly I realized that as I'm ticking up these honor levels, hey, there's this huge token that gives a crap ton of AP. Well, that's really cool. And then you finally get my way up all the way to Prestige 1, and then I restart at Honor 1, and it's Artifact Power Gold, Artifact Power Gold. And especially the first 10 levels, you blitz through those so quickly. Like, right now, an Artifact Power token from the PvP is giving me 112,000 Artifact Power.
What's your Artifact Knowledge at?
24. So 25. I think it'll probably go up to, what, 120 or something like that, 125?
That sounds about right.
I don't know the exact. It sounds about right. I don't know exactly, though.
Yeah, I think mine were giving me 89,000 at 23, and I...
23, yeah.
And I don't know what it is at 24, because I just got that yesterday, and I spent all my time on my alt, which...
Oh, certainly.
...is another issue of, like, how do you even, amongst all of this ridiculous amount of focus and grinding, manage to throw in an alt there? Because, you know, some people need them for raiding, or because, hey, a tank shortage, well, we need to do five man, so I'll go swap over to my tank and go do the thing for you guys instead of being the DPS, which might set them behind, but they're trying to do a service to the group, mm-hmm. sort of thing. Or split raids, especially. How do you manage to dump the phenomenal amount of time between the two of them? Even with catch-up mechanics, it's still hours.
There's no real catch-up
hours.
Mechanics in alts, or at least not right now.
Right. It's literally like, there's a little bit with the knowledge, because like on my druid right now, my knowledge cooldowns are 3 days instead of five. So like,
well, that's
I'll get
in effect
there.
For everybody. So if somebody started right. today and they got up, that's the same thing that they're going to see.
Yeah, there's no double dipping in the catch up. Like, it isn't just, oh, well, I got my first tune and they're really decked out, but now I want to go roll something else for, you know, flavor or utility, or just to do something different for a few minutes.
And as much as people complained, being able to come up on an alt and just grab gear and be ready to raid instantly and not feeling like I had to catch up in some means, that was alluring. It made me want to play alts. It made me want to go through the stories, you know, when I heard that each class hall was going to have a story and a process that they go through. I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool. And then I realized, and the completionist in me, of course, just says, well, I'll just level the artifact weapon to them because the artifact knowledge will be across the count, right?
Nope.
Right? No, it's not. And so you're getting like, oh, this world quest gives, you know, 50 artifact power. Oh, great. That's wonderful. Not really.
That's another awful. Thing is just the sheer cost of resetting. Like, that's a problem too, of like, well, there's patch, there's class balance changes coming in the next patch. Well, the spec that was the definitive top is now second, and maybe I want to switch specs entirely, which is, you know, a huge issue for especially pure DPS classes. You know, I play mage, that's all I get to do is pew pew, so I want to pick the best, most effective pew-pew that I can at the time at hand, and that changes from month to month and patch to patch, even if it's a spec that I don't particularly find interesting or fun.
Well, you guys have definitely identified one of the big issues of AP power is not just this sort of endless amount of time that you put into it, but the lack of flexibility. So you mentioned that, well, there's a problem with alts where artifact knowledge is not shared across alts, which makes it difficult for a person to really feel willing to make a new character, to try out a new class. And then within even your own class that you're playing, there's not flexibility to swap specs without it costing a lot. It's costing a lot of your time, because now that let's say that you've put in all the amount of time that you could possibly put into gaining that artifact power because you feel compelled to get every last point. Well, now you're starting to, you have to refund a portion of that. I would even say it was a significant portion to change up your spec where, okay, well, now that these balance changes are...
You don't actually refund anything. You actually have to earn more and put it into the other weapon. So there's no refund system. It's you have to start from scratch on another weapon. Now, that being said, you know, I went to a world quest and I decided, well, I'm going to put a token into my fire weapon, which I hadn't leveled for a little bit. And I went from trait 1 to trait, I don't know, what was it, 20? Or no, sorry, not 20, 16 in one token with all the artifact knowledge that I had built up on my character. So you do get that catch-up mechanic, but you're never going to be quite as far with two weapons as you are with one, not by a long shot. It gets too the curve gets too big at one point or another.
Yeah, and that I know at least at one point in time was a like conscious design decision. I remember Ian talking about it in various Q&As that, well, obviously, if you spend 100% no life into one spec, you're going to be incrementally better than the player who decides to level up two specs. And that's intentional. But at the top end of this curve, it becomes more and more exponentially disparate between the two. And then at that point, if you decide, well, maybe that was a bad idea, you can't refund it. You can't. It's not like talent points from, you know, pre-cataclysm, where, you know, you had, where you had 80 points of talents, and if you just reset it, then you could throw them in however you wanted. It's not only do you have to reset, it cost you a significant chunk. It costs you the next level, and that might be 2.4 million AP, and you're never going to get it back to dump into the old spec.
Right.
Like, there's no reclamation there, and that kind of sucks.
Yep. Sorry, long dramatic pause here. But
yes. I was thinking about it. We were all just thinking about it. We became very sober at the idea. It's like, oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
This is happening. Yeah, this is the game that we're playing, that we're putting our time into, and now we just realize how much it's cost. What have you sacrificed?
I have sacrificed everything.
Well, that seems reasonable.
Well, at least, I mean, the caveat, or I guess the big, not caveat, but the point of knowledge going forward is in, I believe it's in 7.15. I saw in the PTR, and I'm pretty certain it's coming live, is artifact knowledge can be purchased for your alts. So once you get to 25, you can purchase artifact knowledge levels 1 to 20 through certain bits with your order hall resources, and then you can give them to an alt. So, you know, I just got my warlock to 110, great news and everything like that. I looked at it and like, I don't really want to do all the artifact knowledge research. And so, you know, good news for me, I can go ahead and get her all the way up to, you know, level 20 of artifact knowledge. And so I can at least push through the majority of the weapon fairly significantly quicker than I did the first time with my mage. But, you know, it's still going to be slow, still going to be a little bit slower. And there's that mentality of, well, if I'm playing my warlock, I'm not playing my mage, which is the character I raid on, the character I really play, the character I really want to play and enjoy and, you know, do everything else on, get the legendaries and all the other jazz. You know, why am I spending any time on this warlock when really she's just here to have a little fun on the side and craft some potions and flasks and gather some herbs? You know, why am I spending my time here?
You have to weigh out is the utilitarian aspect of this alt enough to justify spending the time on it? And that can be a hard call to make.
It can be, especially
like that used to only be like
chunks of gold.
Yeah, chunks of gold. Like that, like my mage has always been my baby. She's always been my main for as long as I played WoW. And I spent several years playing without ever having alts, and then I discovered professions and how lucrative it was and how nice it was just to take all that stuff and throw it at my main. But now it's kind of like the reverse of, I don't know if I want to spend the time not on my main to feed my alts to feed my main, because it's still going to put me behind. But
yep.
I'm not raiding and I'm not beholden to anybody, so I can be behind and it doesn't affect anyone other than, you know, do I feel like logging in this day? It's cool, I'll do it next time. But at the same time, I grind fairly heavily for a quote casual, because I still have 235 trait weapons on my main.
That's pretty impressive. Although I would have that if I didn't go, you know, gung-ho into Frost all the way.
Yeah. Exactly. But there were also times where, like, that's what I spent my Saturday from sunup to sundown was grinding AP, because I wanted to funnel it all in and feel like I could catch up for a few days and then not really have to focus so heavily during the week, you know, when I've got other stuff to do.
Well, without your alt, you've just demonstrated that you are a mage who don't need no alts, but maybe we do. Maybe there is this concept that, you know, having an alt enables you to explore the game in another way that is more fun. And when the AP grind is prohibitive to doing that, like, you know, when you're not able to play an alt just to do something else, just to have a breath of fresh air to explore something else, possibly even refund it into your main again. Like, is that really in the spirit of, you know, playing World of Warcraft, where you should be able to, you know, you're not just one class, or maybe you are. Maybe that's something that, you know, the design philosophy is pushing us to, which is why it's become so not, you know, where it hasn't become alt-friendly over time.
And I think that's something that players asked for, because anytime there's a legendary that's been in an expansion, people are like, well, I want one for my class too. Are we going to see one in the next raid tier? Are we going to see one in the next expansion? You know, that sort of thing. Like, I know people that rerolled alts just so they could go get Terragosa, or rerolled a rogue so they could go get the daggers and stuff like that, because they wanted the things just to have them. So now we're at the point where everybody's got legendaries, everybody's got unique class quest lines, like hunters and priests and paladins did back in vanilla, like warlocks had in Mists of Pandaria, stuff that makes you feel really special and unique. But there's so much to do that it makes it prohibitive to actually explore and appreciate these things that we've been asking for so long. And so,
but isn't that kind of like
it's kind of a dichotomy of like, well, which, what do you pick?
Is it kind of like a fun bit of like a stark contrast to Warlords of Draenor, where, you know, I logged in, I raided, I leveled my character, and that was great. I did the garrison, that was cool. I started leveling up my followers, I got my gear, I got all the stuff I needed out of heroics, and I never walked into heroic again, honestly. So I started raiding, and I did the raid, and after the lockout ended, I didn't do anything. I felt bored. There was no gain to go into there. You know, there's no gain to explore the world. I got what I needed from the game, and so it ended up that I played probably about, I don't know, 5 hours a week. Like, I really didn't play a whole lot. Like, I enjoyed it. I had fun. The only thing that really kept me around was friends. But the content, it wasn't there for me. PvP didn't enthrall me. There was no, I guess, breadcrumb trail to bring me into PvP. Pet battles, let's be real, it's not my thing. Even for the AP, I walked away from it. If I'm going to go play pet battles, I'm going to go play Pokemon. Sorry. And everybody has their little things that they're interested in. And I guess Legion really said, you're going to want to try everything. And they did. You have PvP, which they changed around a lot, and it's much better. I think there's some issues, but that's a topic for another day. But it's much better. It's much more enjoyable. Dungeons, there's Mythic Plus, so you're constantly running again. Oh, yes, Warlords of Draenor, the challenge modes, they didn't really provide anything, and once you got everything, there is no real, unless you were like the very, very top end. Yes. Yeah.
Unless you actually were hitting like server first and getting the titles from it, there wasn't anything to encourage repetitive, unless you were doing carries or, you know, getting everybody in the guild through their runs and stuff like that. There was no need for going back and doing it again. Whereas with the Mythic Pluses, you know, there's repeatable, consistently AP, rewarding things that you're getting from repeating that content. And on the flip side, having extended time in there actually justifies the development cost for it. Like, certainly, dungeons are expensive. There's tons of art assets, and that's a lot of times why you'll see areas that are a raid zone, especially in the last couple of expansions, where those are also questing areas. Like, Trial of Valor, like, you go down there for questing in Stormheim. It didn't even occur to me that it was the same thing until I went back and was actually like sitting in Helia, and I'm like, hey, the lighting and a few bits and pieces are different, but I was totally in this room before. And, you know, it's the same thing with like repeat content of older raids. Like, they put stuff in there to keep that stuff still interesting, because maybe they didn't get as much bang for their development buck the first time around. So that's why, you know, we've got like the raiding with leashes and time walking and stuff like that. It's attractive things that are consistently different but still rewarding to expand the like effective use of time and effort and development costs, because, you know, it's a business. it's a game, but it's still a business, and they've got to keep people subscribed somehow. And that's one of those things that's interesting, where people that might, like, I know there's lots of people that have loyally been playing, you know, for 12 years and their sub has never lapsed. But there's also lots of people that they get an expansion, they play for 2-3 months, and then they cancel their sub and they wait for the next patch or they wait for the next expansion, where now we've got breadcrumbs and, you know, the trail of Reese's Pieces for players to keep following, and, you know, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of AP, ooh, there's another thing, ooh, there's a shiny. So it's an effective business model.
Do you think the legendary from the legendary chain that was in Mists of Pandaria and Warlords of Draenor, do you think that was any similar to the breadcrumb trails that we're seeing with the AP, or do you think that was just ineffective to keep people around? Like, it was, it took too long. Like, there was no instant gratification.
I was raiding pretty heavily in Mists of Pandaria, so, like, every time there was a patch content and the next step for it, like, it was instant gratification. I was ready to go, like, that second. In Warlords with the Legendary Ring, I took 10 months off, and I didn't have my stuff ready for my Legendary Ring, but there was catch-up mechanics where I caught back up, I got my ring, I did my achieve. Granted, I didn't get the tokens for the months and months and months and months of upgrading, so, like, the item level on my Legendary was meh, but I still had my thing. So it was kind of hit and miss. Like, there was enough to breadcrumb, but there was enough to catch up. And then if you were continuing to raid, if you were still continuing to push Mythic, there were lots of guild fluctuations and people moving around and that sort of thing. There was some incentive to keep going for, you know, the 13-month stint that was Hellfire. But for some, yeah, there wasn't, you know? Like, I've never set foot in Hellfire other than LFR and my single moose run. it was a content patch that I missed entirely, which is still weird for me as a player, but, you know, is what it is.
Now, I guess thinking back, like you said, like, you could come back, especially in Warlords of Draenor, and you could still get your ring, you could still get your pretty, and you were essentially done. You know, AP the way it is and the traits and everything, do you think that's as easily obtained? Like, you can come in right now into Legion and you level up a character, and, you know, the person that is brand new to the game probably doesn't know. Like, I heard a story of a person who got to 110, had no clue about artifact power, had no clue with their weapon. Someone, you know, went over, they were close enough friends, went over to their house, looked over. They still had only one trait in their artifact weapon at 110. And they had, you know, like 820 eye level. Like, they had been running heroics, been running gear. They had tokens, I think. I don't know. Don't know the whole story here. But, you know, was it not? To me, I think the system's self-explanatory and self-perpetuating, that it tells you, hey, look what you did. Look what you did. And it tells you, hey, go back to your order hall, get the trait. But that was kind of astonishing to me. But
yeah,
I guess besides the point.
That seems like kind of an exception versus like a standard occurrence, but I know there's games that I play that I just play them from time to time because the mechanics amuse me, but I'm not actually any good at it. And I know that because I have friends that, you know, spend lots of time and do all these crazy stuff, and there's Reddit threads and, you know, theories and things change and patches and this and that, and I'm just like, I just like to match the pretty colors together because it's got a nice feel to it, and that's all the more I'm invested in the game.
I'm just here and for the story.
There's people that do that too. I mean, friends that, like, I made friends with them because I ran into them out in the world when I was leveling years and years and years ago, but they've never done a raid until it was soloable because they don't like group content. Just being in a group with other people is just so, it triggers their anxiety that bad that they just don't do it. So they just wait until it's old so they can go solo it. And that's,
at least they get to see it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're outlier situations, but there's so many ways, even though it's an MMO and it's meant for massive
everybody's
group content.
Everybody's a minority.
Right. There's always somebody that's going to get different joy out of the game than other people.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the caps and the ideas, you know, we have all these different, you know, right now, artifact power definitely doesn't have a cap. But the interesting part was Prestige had a cap. So you had all these people PvPing and get up to Prestige 4. And then they're like, okay, well, what do I do now? And Blizzard literally just told them. No, they couldn't. I mean, they could get it kind of from like a little battleground completion stuff.
To keep dumping stuff into their weapon, which like world content is
no, it was their prestige ranks.
Right.
Once you got to prestige 4, you were done. You couldn't advance your honor level anymore.
Like my answer to them would be like, well, you can still dump AP into your weapon. You can still get relics for your weapon. Even though you're capped out on your honor, there's still other systems to fill your time.
Why could they not have put in arbitrary caps for the artifact power costs? Like, say, okay, well, during, you know, Emerald Nightmare time or whatever, you can get to level 35 on your trait, on your weapon. And then once you hit that, you're done. And so it gives you a momentary, at least a momentary point of stop. And if you want to continue, then you can level your other weapons. Druids have 4. I mean, that really gives you a lot of time that you can put in. But why just leave it open-ended of here's 54, it's all done. You know, have it going on it.
54 from 35 seems like it was too big of a window. Like 34
exactly.
To 44 might have been okay. Like that's, it's only 10 more. It's not ridiculous. It's not almost double of what you're already doing. So, so yeah, it's one of those where like, I really appreciate the open-endedness because there are days where I like to binge AP grind and then there are weeks where I don't at all.
Certainly. And even with all the, like you mentioned,
that
the
binging,
honor caps.
There isn't a hard cap that I'll hit. Like I can run ahead of time and feel like I'm okay sitting where I'm at and then, you know, take a little break.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're tapping into this idea that the cap, the weekly cap doesn't work because there are going to be sessions that you play like on 1 week where it's like, look, I got a 3-day weekend. All I'm going to do is be in my pajamas, order in some Pizza Hut. And that's right. Just Pizza Hut. No other sort of fast food. And, just play all day, and that cap should, you know, that should sustain me for a long period of time. So rather
have fun like that.
Yeah. So I think that there is actually some validity and interest in kind of pursuing this idea that the cap shouldn't be like a weekly cap where it's almost dictating like you got to meet this every week, otherwise you're going to fall behind. Maybe it should be more like what you were saying previously, which is there is an overall cap, and how and when you fulfill that cap determines, you know, that you're gonna, you know, that'll give you the access to play for 3 days, 1 week, and then not even like log in for the next 2 weeks, sort of idea. And maybe
the
that would
fault I find in that is like it's operating from a well, I'm behind perspective, so I'm gonna grind a whole bunch to catch up, and not operating from a I'm gonna grind ahead of time so I can relax a few days later.
Kind of yeah, thing. But we're currently running into this problem where people feel like there is absolutely no end, and maybe, and so I'm thinking like if you drop those levels down, then you don't feel pressured to fulfill it all in one sitting, right? Like you're not going to hit level 34 in, you know, one go.
Yeah, like it would make more sense to, and it seems like it might be better for even tuning for Nighthold, because we're going to get higher item levels again, and we've still got the issue of Titan Forging, which is one I want to burner for another day and not discuss about it now.
A topic for another day as well.
always another thing for another day.
Tune into podcast 324 when we meet all of our, you know, promises for what's going to be discussed another day.
just, you know.
Everyone have your bingo mat ready. Put down a topic for another day as one of the bingo sort of numbers.
Yep. Legendaries. Clink.
Click.
Clink.
Bingo!
Am
I a winner?
Might be the free space, right?
Mm. Legendaries are the free space, definitely.
At this point, yeah.
No, Thunder Fury is the free space.
Yes, there you go.
Did someone say?
Did someone say?
Did someone say?
I like how none of us actually said it. That was great.
Yeah.
Don't start it.
Nope.
The second rule of Fight Club. Or something. I don't know. I think I messed up that.
I know it was the first rule of Fight Club, but we're not allowed to talk about it or something, so I can't go into it.
First rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
Whoa. You just did it.
You ruined it.
I ruined it twice.
It's okay. Spoilers.
Maybe it's like a double negative. It just like sort of reverts back to the positive, so it's not. It's like it didn't even happen.
Cancels itself out. There
just
you go.
Cancels itself out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're without revamping the system again, which we're in the middle of an expansion. Early middle.
There's no revamp. There's no revamp of artifact power. It's as it is, just
right.
Like Garrus says.
Like, there's no way that you can reset and try and fix it. It's just not going to happen. But I think toggling some of the gains or, you know, inundating everything with AP, mm-hmm. at least in Broken Isles, inundating everything with AP, because I think if you try to give AP to everything everywhere, that could open up a whole nother mess of problems, because you'd have people like you'd have arcane
people going back
just
to
arcane explosioning starter zones for AP, and that would just be terrible.
Oh my goodness.
But
that
yeah, just
awful.
Inundating every system that's in Broken Isles where you get it from everywhere, so can't stop, won't stop, but you're flooded in it so you can breathe.
That's one
possibly
option.
Possibly. I think maybe putting limiters on the trait cap sooner, so something like 40 instead of 50 to
definitely.
Make it a little more tangible. And that's another thing, that like these caps are only an issue right now because we're in the middle of grinding. It feels almost exactly like the rep gating for Nightfallen stuff from a few months ago, when people are like, oh my god, I need more Nightfallen rep because I want to go do the next thing. I need more Nightfallen rep. Well, now that everybody's exalted,
you're done. You don't hear a single thing about it. No, if
so
everybody's done, you don't have to worry about it.
The complaint has switched to AP because somebody is always going to be unhappy, but once you're maxed out on your artifact again and we're in 7.2, how much of this is still going to be an issue? Because if
I think
you're capped out and you took a break because you were sick of the grinding, you can come back and cap out, and it might be okay.
It depends on how they take the overflowing going forward. Because you had this commentary, and I don't know how true it is or if it shall come to pass or not, but they would take the overflowing traits and they would let you use them for new traits when they open up new ranks. And I think it would probably be in their best interest to hold off on something like that. So instead of everything having, you know, two rank or three ranks of things, then you hold them off to, you know, they're going to add, give them up to four ranks. Well, if you add that too quickly, then you create this issue again too quickly. And I think if people can push through, get to 54, you know, within a reasonable time shortly, and then have 3 months or something like that, or 2 months or, on average for most people to relax and get done, then you can say, okay, you know, for the next raid, assuming there's going to be three or four, hopefully, probably not, but you know, you can wish, right?
You still got Nighthold and then Argus.
Oh, that's true.
And
so I mean, if there's a decent
and two of Sargeras, forgot one. So
oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like, there's lots that's still on the table. And that's another interesting concept as well, is like, Warcraft has always been extremely cyclical in its mm-hmm. releases. Not always timed well, but I mean, there's been like, hey, we get a thing, and then we get 3 or 4 months, and that's where we're at right now, is 4 months deep into Legion, and we've got new raids, not just one, but we've got another one on the horizon, so we're 3 raids deep, you know, a patch and a half deep, and normally by now we'd be lucky if we'd be seeing, you know, 7.1 kind of thing. So that's something that makes it interesting, is that people are used to sprinting and then being done and having time to go do other stuff or deal with real life or go play other games. And the sprint has turned into, you know, a marathon, and people aren't.
Well, maybe that's the issue, that rather than actually AP as a system, you know, what if it's the fact that there's so much to do, as, you know, a widespread of content, not just I want to do this thing and I'm done with it, now I can, you know, go on and do other things. It's, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do Mythic Pluses, the new raid came out, the Nighthold's coming out. You know, it's just, it seems like there's almost too much to do, you know. Knock on wood as I say this, because I don't want to.
And that's,
you know,
one of those things that, like, they're promising, oh, you know, we've got so much more, we've got so much more, we've got so much more. Well, we were told that there was going to be lots more in Warlords, and it kind of just never came. So it, I would say, ended abruptly, but it really didn't end abruptly. The content flow ended abruptly, and then there was this desert of lack thereof, and that made a lot of people angry, and
13 months of hellfire.
And I think it was just all pacing. Like,
it was paced poorly.
We end up in the same spot where we have, I would say, even 8 to 9 months of whatever at the end of this expansion, people are still going to complain, and that
it's a drought. It's like, well, why didn't you space this out sooner?
I would space
it out further so that you don't create that drought. But I think at the same time, even with all of this early inundation of content, the droughts, they end, are kind of nice if there's stuff you needed to go back and do. Because I know that's one of those things that I always do at the end of expansions, is level my alts and level my professions and go get stupid achievements and go do PvP with my guildies because we're raiding one night a week, kind of thing. You know, team building exercises, so to speak, just to maintain those friendships and those connections, so you're, you know, still a cohesive team rolling into the next expansion if, you know, you're sticking around for that long. But 14 months is just too much. So I think having a break is okay. I think 6 months might be all right. 8 or 9 gets a little squeaky because the boredom really sets in. And yeah, it just gets a little hard. But yeah, that's one thing that I'm worried, is like, there's all these promises, but I'm cautiously optimistic that they will continue to be fulfilled. Even though, you know, I have friends on dev teams that are like, hey, no, really, like, we've got so much for you in store still, just trust me this time. And it's like, you're my friend and I love you, and I've been burned before, so I remain cautiously optimistic that this is going to be the thing.
And well, hey, I mean, Legion has promised what they said. Like, they said,
right,
there will be content, there will be something for you to do all the time, and they definitely have, you know, delivered on that promise.
Yeah.
Almost too well.
OP has delivered.
OP has delivered.
Yes. And while you're cautiously optimistic, like a smart person, I'm ignorantly optimistic, where I'm like, I've been told things and things are sort of happening, so let's just keep this rolling. But part of the reason why I believe that we're actually seeing a lot of the promises fulfilled in Legion that we didn't see in previous expansions, Draenor, was the reason why the last expansion cycle was so long was that they were, you know, they decided that they were going to bite the bullet then, when the expansion was already waning. There wasn't really going to be some sort of revival at the last minute where it was like, yeah, remember how that expansion was like kind of not seen in a favorable light for, you know.
Yeah, the opportunity to rally was long gone.
So they decided to take that time into Legion, which we know from, you know, speaking with our dev, you know, connections. However, you know, however far into the 7 degrees of knowing other people you are into it, but you know, we are seeing that delivered on. And at the same time, it's like you all were mentioning earlier about, you know, there's almost this sort of like, there's almost too much to do, and it kind of paralyzes like people from making a choice. It's like, well, do I want to, you know, grind AP, or do I, you know, want to do pet battles, or, you know, whatever else. And I think they're,
do I want to
I think there's some sort of interesting idea of, like, while you can't... Sorry, I'm, like, I'm cutting you off here. This is my turn. give me the microphone.
No, sorry, I want to sleep?
Microphone that away.
Just killed me. No, please.
What?
Do I want to do pet battles? Do I want to do this? And I was just like, do I want to sleep?
Do I want to sleep?
At least I think that's what you said, because that's what I heard, yes. And I'm going to take it and run.
That's what I said subconsciously. Yeah. That's just...
And we're like, no sleep.
Eat. There's no sleep. Yeah, right. Oh god, that was a great pun on August and Argus. But anyway, I think now we're running into this really interesting issue of, well, there wasn't really enough content in some of the previous expansions, and now we're hitting this, like, there's just too much to do, and it sounds like. Sounds like a great problem to have, but it is paralyzing from, you know, for a player. So I don't know how, you know,
it's
if this is just
potentially counterintuitive too, because your player base is used to a certain thing and you try to introduce something new, and that can be discouraging and scary and actually turn people off.
Yeah, people are settled in their own ways. They want to complain about things and have things not really work out for them, but not change them. I remember Ennui. Just fall back on Ennui for Burning Crusade when in doubt. Remember all of our rough, you know, rose-tinted glasses feelings about stuff. Yeah, those are good times.
So, I mean, we've gone from Artifact Power is this huge, you know, system. No cap. Completely different from everything else, which I guess...
No cap, no chill.
No cap, no chill. But... you know, it gives you that opportunity. And I think, you know, one of the developers brought it up, you know, a cap would anger other segments. You know, what happens if you start to play into PvP and you reach that cap because you're doing something different and you're like, oh, well, now I don't want to do anything else. You know, why am I not getting rewards from playing the game? So I think, and I hesitate to say this, but maybe the fact that there's this unlimited pathway to continuously getting artifact power is a good thing. And maybe it's hard to say because everybody's going to take a look at it at different levels. But for the average player, maybe it's a good thing. Except even still, like, I see people that are casual players, people that raid once a week, you know, do dungeons a couple nights a week. They haven't logged in, and I saw one person with 14 days, and I asked them, so what's going on? I was like, well, I've been really burnt out. There's almost too much to do, and so I'm playing other games that I don't feel guilty when I don't play them. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And they'll come back. No worries about that. But it's just kind of an interesting thought when you think about it like that. You know, it's this great system of stuff to do, but, you know, too much is always a problem.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, if you feel like you're a slave to it, to a game especially, is it really a game anymore? You know, like, what does it become?
Is this fun to me? If I feel like I have to do it at any point, does that make it fun? And, you know, you talked about, is that Blizzard's fault? Is that our fault? I don't know. It leaves so much up to the individual of whether... it's something that is good or bad. And it's not necessarily the AP system's bad. It's not that it's great. It's just, it is what it is. And I think it allows everybody to take what it as they desire. It's just something that we're not used to. And I think that's the biggest issue at hand, is it's something that we never had any issue before.
Well, I think that finally players are going to have to learn to say no, that they have to decide when enough is enough, and that's okay. That's actually a good decision for them, that it's no longer a mechanic of the game that tells you no. No, you can no longer gain, you know, cap or points this week because you've met your cap. Now it's the player that has to decide, you know what, no, like, we've already hit diminishing returns. This, you know, this isn't furthering our capabilities as much as the time being dumped into it is making it seem like. So we need to just be able to say no it's time to stop, or no, it's time to not be, you know, as grindy as it was before and to go into a more sustainable sort of cycle. And I think that's that the devs have actually given a lot of power back to the players. They've given a lot of power back to the players to say, like, you have all this content, go explore, you know, some of it, all of it, or, you know, and that you don't have to, you don't have to do everything, and that's okay. And I think that it's possible that from a design perspective, that there might be more ways to incentivize that, you know, truth that they're trying to promote, which is that, where they might be able to, you know, without doing hard caps on things, sort of signify that it's like, hey, it's okay to stop because there's this thing that's going to come in to sort of help out that might be passive that a player can't really manipulate or control anymore. I don't really know what that is, but the, you know, again, there's this, the player has a lot of control now, and I think they don't really realize it. And it's time to sort of step back and be okay with not having everything possible immediately.
Yeah. And that's kind of an interesting thing, is that we got all of this dumped onto us and everybody's sprinting, whereas we didn't learn how to walk with it first.
We're trying to run the 100-meter dash, but they're trying to encourage the, you know, the quarter mile, the mile, the half marathon.
Yeah.
So maybe it is us. Maybe we need to take that gap.
It's definitely a learning process. And like, and I think that's kind of where I sit, is that I've learned how to moderate myself because I play the game differently than I did for the first six, seven years that I played, which is weird. And it literally took me a year to come to terms with how I wanted to continue to play WoW, because I stopped raiding and that was all I ever did. Everything that was in the game was 100% directed towards how is this going to benefit me in raiding and my raiding guild and my team and us, you know, getting to the end and winning World of Warcraft for the, you know, for that expansion. And then once I stopped raiding, I didn't know how to play the game anymore. So I stopped. And then it was like, well, maybe I'll try again. And so I'd log in for 20 minutes and not know what to do. And, you know, unfortunately, this was during Warlords, which was an exceptionally dry period, but there was still a lot of content that I never touched. But I would log in and then just go AFK and then log out because I didn't know what to do with myself. And I did that for months because I didn't know how. And then finally, you know, I met people on Twitter that, you know, had a better guild environment than the one that I was in. And I switched servers and suddenly I had friends again and stuff to go do. And the pacing for how I consume content changed. And I think that's kind of the problem, is that learning how to grow with the game as a player is hard. And something that people don't even realize is what's actually taking place. So instead, the agitation is like, well, I need to grind, so I'm going to blame AP. AP is the problem. And maybe it's not the AP. That's just the tipping point for now.
It's the thing that players can see is, you know, something that feels to them feels unfulfilled or unsatisfied. And that's actually probably more due to their own the pressure that they're putting on themselves to reach this sort of insurmountable goal, rather than accepting that this is sort of out of their control to reach that, you know, point right now. It's a thing. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, like we were saying earlier. So I think that's actually the awesome conclusion that we've all come to, which is this idea that the player has so much power right now, as opposed to previous expansions where it's been like the parent and the child, where, you know, parent Blizzard has said, hey, this is your cap for the week, so, you know, you better make sure that you hurry up and get all of that, you know, cap. But after that, you got, you know, after that, it's not really worth, you're not getting any more, you know, credit for the week. You continue playing to further your own skill or to, you know, continue to become a better player, but just know that you're only going to get, you know, sort of this allowance every week. And now the, you know, now that we've grown up, Blizzard has respected that we've grown up and that we can make our own schedules and, you know, and that it's now it has to be our understanding that, hey, at a certain point that this, you know, cap, whether or not it's been shown to us like in a very visual form and sort of been beaten into us that, hey, this is only going to happen weekly. Now we can see, okay, I've hit, you know, I'm starting to hit diminishing returns. And now it's, you know, I need to decide that this is, you know, I can stop here. I can slow down and that's okay. And I'm not going to impede myself or my raid group by doing so.
And it's fair to say that, you know, the game's 12 years old. You've changed, we've changed, Blizzard's changed, the game's changed, and maybe we need to figure out how we fit in with the new game. And that's for you to decide. If you like the AP grind, you're more than welcome to do it. If you don't like it, maybe you need to find something else. And
exactly. And, you know, I think at this point we've kind of turned a little bit everything on its head and maybe turn it out to our listeners if we're lucky. They're in there, it's plural.
You're out there somewhere.
You guys are thinking, somewhere. You can find us at Arcane Analysis on Twitter. You can also email us at arcana arcana at blizzpro.com, and you know, that would be awesome to hear anybody's thoughts and opinions or anything that we missed or perspective that we didn't cover or give sufficient attention to.
Yes. Love to hear your feedback.
Please.
We record every week, so be sure to put us on your calendar.
Yes.
And have us queued in your Spotify.
We are for sure on Google Play, we are on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher. And then you can always find the posts and the link to listen from BlizzPro, Warcraft site. And or download it for your listening pleasure. So thank you.
Until next time.
Until next time.